Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hey everybody. So last time we talked, we went through Revelation 14, 15, and 16, I believe. And today we're going to pick it up in chapter 17. But before we do that, I just wanted to wish you a happy Monday. As I'm recording this, it is Monday. And I don't believe anybody ever said happy Monday and meant it without being sarcastic. So for the first time in history, I want to wish you a happy Monday since it is about 9:42 as I'm recording this right now, so Monday's about over, so this is probably the happiest part of Monday. That being said, I know that this time of year isn't really the time of year that people are thinking about this so much, but I wanted to throw out a little mention of an organization called Willamette Valley First Responder Chaplaincy. It is obviously in the Willamette Valley if you live here in Oregon, and kind of based out of Albany, but it covers a decent sized area. And my good friend Dean is one of the chaplains there. So if you're thinking about where can I donate, where can I give joyfully, as the Bible would say, if you're not a part of a church where you feel led to give, then you might consider Willamette Valley First Responder Chaplaincy. And no, they don't know that I'm doing this. I just wanted to throw this out there because it's a place that I have given in the past because I have seen the impact that they have had on their community there. And I'm sure in the future we'll talk about some other places to donate, depending on where you live or depending on what you want to give your money toward. But that's just one to consider, one of many. And if that interests you, it's WVFRC.org, and it is a great organization. So if you're listening to this and you feel led to give somewhere, please don't give to me. Give to that chaplaincy, or if you're interested and you want more information on other areas that you can give, you can reach out to us on Instagram, DM us at ThinLineBelievers, or we also have ThinLineBelievers@gmail.com. So having said that, let's go ahead and move on into Revelation here. And I'm kind of realizing as I'm studying up for this here podcast that I'm not a teacher. I'm not good at this. But, you know, I have a microphone and I can still talk. And I do have a public school education, which means I can read at a moderate rate. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read some of this, and I may add some of my own commentary, but I'm going to keep it brief because, like I said, I'm not a teacher. And if you do have interest, especially in this book of Revelation, which has always really, really interested me, and if you have any interest in futuristic things, in other words, eschatology, which is the study of prophecy, then I recommend you find a better teacher than me. Personally, I read from John Corson, excellent teacher. I think it's Dr. David Jeremiah. No, Andy Woods. Sorry, it's Andy Woods, the other one, who is a phenomenal teacher on the book of Revelation. Let's get into chapter 17 here. Beginning in verse 1. Seems appropriate. One of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." Then the angel carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with the abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. Just a quick side note. You might be thinking, okay, if the name on her forehead is a mystery, how do we know what it means? Well, biblically speaking, usually a mystery would mean something that was formerly unknown, but has been revealed, which kind of fits with our book of Revelation here. So that's how we know what is written on her forehead. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and yet will come up out of the abyss and go to its destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because it once was, now is not, and yet will come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 hills on which the woman sits. There are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for only a little while. The beast, who once was and now is not, is an 8th king. He belongs to the 7 and is going to his destruction. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who, for 1 hour, will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to hand over to the beast their royal authority until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth." Chapter 18. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons and a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." So we saw spiritual Babylon in chapter 17, and in chapter 18 here, we see economic Babylon. Verse 4, "Then I heard another voice from heaven say, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Pour her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit enthroned as queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her: death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her." Little side note here. This is an interesting take on the economic Babylon and how it's going to fall, and how those who controlled it, they're going to mourn, as we'll see here in just a second. And it kind of makes me think of this whole GameStop thing. I'm sure you followed it here recently, where this group of kind of everyday average Joes like you and me got together, and they manipulated this stock market. Well, the folks that lost all the money, they threw a fit, really, and managed to get Robinhood, the trading platform, to kind of save them from losing all their money. And so it's the people that control this that are the ones who are going to be mourning here in chapter 18. Verse 9, when the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry. Because, well, they're losing their money, aren't they? Woe, woe to you, great city, you mighty city of Babylon. In 1 hour, your doom has come. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silken, scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and human beings sold as slaves. Little side note here, the human trafficking market is even going to be affected in these times, and these people will be very upset. I would encourage you to look just a little bit. I don't dive too deep into this because it might not sit too well, but human trafficking is an extremely busy, I guess, business that goes all the way up to the top, as you probably already know. So these folks that are upset about the gold and the wood and the food here, they're also mourning over the loss of this human trafficking market. Verse 14, they will say, the fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your luxury and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things have gained their wealth from her and will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, woe, woe to you, great city, dressed in fine linens, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, was there ever a city like this great city? They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, woe, woe to you, great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, you heavens. Rejoice, you people of God. Rejoice, apostles and prophets. For God has judged her with the judgment she imposed on you. Interesting, the difference between those who are on earth who are mourning and crying over all of these materialistic things that they have lost, and then in heaven, they say, rejoice, rejoice. I'd rather be rejoicing than mourning. I'll say that. Verse 21, then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, with such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, pipers and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No worker of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's important people. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of God's holy people. of all who have been slaughtered on the earth. Now, I want to encourage you to actually find a study regarding what we just read. But the next chapter is really what I wanted to get into today. It's because there's something that's been on my mind, especially over the last week. And I don't know why over the last week it has been this way. Maybe it's something going on in government. I'm not sure. But I want to talk about weak Christianity. Because we're at a point in the world where we're probably going to be ostracized, maybe persecuted, I don't know. But that doesn't mean that we shrink back. I never saw Paul imprisoned because he was being mousy. It was because he was so outspoken. And he was outspoken because he knew the cost for those who don't know the Lord. He knew the alternative. And never in the Bible have we been called to be weak. Jesus was never weak. When he went into the temple and he turned over the tables of the merchants, that was not weak. When he confronted the Pharisees, that was never weak. He knew that it was risky to do so. But we need to understand that you and I are invincible in this place until God is finished with us on this earth. Then he'll bring us home. We have eternal life. But what we do in this life here matters. You know, I was thinking earlier that our belief doesn't really mean much without an action. You and I can believe in Jesus all day long, but unless we act upon that belief, we accept him as our Savior, we repent, it doesn't mean much. So I believe that the word believe is to be an action word. It's not to be sitting back and just, oh yeah, I believe. Because even the devil himself believes. Now, I want to read chapter 19 here. And I know we've gone through quite a bit already, but I want to read chapter 19 because in this, we're going to see why we can live as courageous Christians. After this. After what? Well, after all this stuff that we just saw, the burning of Babylon, right? So after this, I heard what sounded like the roar of great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." And again they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, "Amen, hallelujah." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, "Write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." At this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus." Verse 11.
I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him. Before we get into this, his name is the Word of God. That reminds me of John chapter 1, verse 1, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So this is Jesus Christ we're speaking of here. Verse 14, the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and the mighty, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small." Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest were killed, with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. Now you and I are going to be following this one. You and I are going to be there with Jesus Christ as he comes back and rids the world of all this evil. It says that he's the judge and he comes to judge the world. And he comes to wage war. Now, as first responders, we should see our share of justice, but we probably, if you're anything like me, you see a lot of injustice. You see a lot of our court systems that just don't work quite right. Or maybe an investigation that should have resulted in a prosecution that didn't. Maybe the investigation wasn't done quite right. Maybe it wasn't prosecuted quite right. The point is, when Jesus comes back, he's going to judge with perfect justice. There will be justice. Now, the beauty of you and me as believers, if you're a believer listening to this podcast, is that Jesus has already taken our judgment for us. Talking to my wife the other day, she brought up Jeffrey Dahmer. And if you don't know who he is, look him up. Because he was an absolute heinous criminal, the most disgusting acts that you can imagine. But it's been said that toward the end of his life, when he was on death row, that he actually was converted to a faith in Jesus Christ. And we talked about, well, is it possible that he could be saved? And I think the answer is a definite yes. It is possible that he can be saved. But here's where we kind of wonder, how is there justice in that case? When somebody like him comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, where's the justice? Where's the punishment for his sins? Well, according to the Bible, those punishments, they're placed on Jesus Christ. He was already punished for our sins. So I would think that if a guy, if he is in fact saved, like Jeffrey Dahmer, if a guy like Jeffrey Dahmer can be saved, then there's really no reason that you and I can't. It's just a matter of whether we believe or not. And then that belief needs to be an action word. And because we have such an amazing God who has given us so much, that should give us the opportunity and no excuse not to be totally courageous in our faith. And that doesn't mean that you wear a sandwich board and stand on the street corner. What I'm saying is that you shouldn't be ashamed of it. And you shouldn't shrink back. When we go to war spiritually, we're not to be timid. We're not to be afraid. 2020 was the year of fear, in my opinion. Yep, the year of fear. But the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Right? We have not been given the spirit of fear by God. So if there is fear in you, it's not of God. That means that it's against God. So we should take courage in the Word of God. We should take courage in our faith. That's what faith is. It's a belief, and that is courageous. It's a belief that if God is for us, who can be against us? So I think the message that I just wanted to share today is don't allow yourself to be a weak Christian. We are not victims. We are warriors. According to the Word, we are more than overcomers. So stand firm on the Word of God. Claim the promises as your own and believe that you are saved and that you are completely invincible until Christ calls you home. All right. Hopefully soon, in the next couple weeks, I do have a couple interviews lined up. We're going to move into a new segment once we finish with Revelation. We've only got a couple chapters here left, and they're pretty awesome chapters. It's going to tell you the future. It's going to tell you our glorious future with the Lord. But after that, I am going to get into a series, Lord willing, about fitness and faith, about taking care of this temple that the Lord has given you, the temple of your spirit. So we're going to get into that, the benefits of it, and I'm going to have some guests on here, some guys that are a lot smarter than me, to explain why that's important and how we can cultivate that. So keep tuning in. And if you want to do us a favor, share this podcast if it's been any benefit to you. Even if it hasn't, maybe it's a benefit for somebody else. Don't be selfish. So share it with somebody else. And reach out to us if you have prayer requests or if you'd like to suggest a topic or you have a book of the Bible you'd like us to go through or anything like that. Send us a note. All right. God bless. Take care.